Welcome, everybody, to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. And I guess that means it's because there's four of us women here talking. We have Megan, who's joining us from Maryland. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
Whose mic is very soft, it sounds.
Is that better?
Anne and Karen in Texas.
Yep. Hello, everyone.
Good evening, everyone.
We're going to take a look at Psalm 31 tonight. It's actually a psalm of David, and it's a psalm of distress. He's in distress and, I would say, overwhelmed. But he calls upon the Lord, and we can see his prayer and his hope and the end in this psalm. Did any of you want to say something before we started?
No, go ahead and start.
Miss Karen? If you
in
need
the
verse
Lord,
one.
Verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness.
Yeah. So here we see David start out just making a confession that happens to be true. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. He makes that choice to trust the Lord. And let me never be ashamed. I think about this one. David's hope is in God, in his word, what God has said, the way that God has made that David even can have a relationship with God. And he's crying out to him that that hope would be proved, and that he would in no way be ashamed. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that, that let me never be ashamed. And notice the word never. You know, because his hope was ever in the Lord. Let me never be ashamed. And then, you know, deliver me in thy righteousness. God is righteous. And one of the things about his righteousness is he has plainly declared what he asks of us. And David has plainly chosen his way of salvation and to trust in that, knowing his utter need of that mercy and grace of God's and calling upon it, deliver me in thy righteousness. He's calling on the character of God here, which God has expressed to us in his word, who promises that he would do this. And David's asking him for it.
You know, when it says, let me never be ashamed, it's not in the sense of being humiliated in public sort of thing. It's, I'm putting my trust in you. Please don't let me down because my trust is in you.
Yeah. Well, and as we go down, you'll see that he even gives testimony of his iniquity. And part of that not being ashamed is that we stand not because we do everything right, but we acknowledge our utter need of the Lord and stand in that and in him. And in that, when he accepts us, there is no place for shame. We'll see as we go down here, you know, I have to say it reminded me of Job, you know, who had his friends sitting around him telling him that everything that had come upon him was because he deserved it, you know, and this wouldn't be happening to him if it wasn't because he had sinned and in a sense been rejected by God. And We all sin. But Job understood that, as does David, and as do we, I hope, that our dependency is because the way God made is completely sufficient to make us acceptable in Him. And that way, of course, is the blood of the Lamb, which David understood. And he depended upon it. And there's an aspect to not being ashamed in that God is with you, not because of anything, but because you have chosen Him in accordance with His will and His way, and He is there. And you stand and you move forward and you live in that place. We know David did, because we know he did one thing that was unquestionably not right. And yet, when he received the Lord's forgiveness, he stood back up in it without shame. But yes, it's not a matter of, don't let me ever make a mistake in public so people don't think I'm an idiot or something. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Megan?
Yes, in the sense of how we might
think of it.
Use it today.
Yeah. Yeah. You can think of Paul, who, in the presence of many, disobeyed, and yet, because the Lord is merciful and he received that mercy and that forgiveness, he continued on. And that's really the gospel message, and the only way we can do it is through really utter dependence upon the way the Lord has made for us to do it. And this is a psalm where we see a man give voice to doing it. If you want to read, I'll tell you when to stop, Karen.
Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Okay. So he asks him, you know, to bow down his ear to him and deliver him speedily. He's in a difficult place and needs help. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. And then he says, for thou art my rock. This was the choice David had made. He chose the Lord to be his Lord. We're going to see later where he's a bondservant to God. You are my rock. That was my choice to make you my rock. You are my fortress. That was my choice to trust in you. Therefore, for thy name's sake, because you said this is what to do, I believe you, God, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Bend your ear unto me. David doesn't say this because he thinks he's somewhat. He says it because he believes God's word. Do you guys have anything?
I don't have anything to add, Robin. Do you, Anne?
No.
If you want to pick up, then.
Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
Okay. pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. You know, we don't really know when this took place in David's life, when he made this cry, if it was associated with anything we know, particularly in the scripture. But we know that he was under attack all the time. He had Saul seeking to kill him and even coming close to doing so at times, and yet the Lord always delivered David. We know that, I don't know if you guys wanted to jump in there, but...
Well, it hits me that, you know, reading or listening to this and reading it, this should be our prayer too.
Amen.
We all run into different things that are difficult, people coming against us, or just, let's face it, life's difficult. And this should be our prayer too. He is our rock, but we have to choose for him to be our rock. He will... be our strength. And I don't know, did we do 5? Into thine hand I commit my spirit.
Yes, we did.
Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I mean, this should be our prayer also. It's just not something for David, it's for all of us.
And that's a safe place, that is a safe place to commit our spirit to, is God.
It's the only right place.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, how many times before we came to the Lord did we commit ourselves to something that really wasn't trustworthy, or something was just flat out wrong? So this is the only right place.
Amen. These are also the words Jesus spoke on the cross, or close to. And we know that when Jesus hung on the cross, he hung there with the sin of the world, and yet he trusted his heavenly Father to raise him up without it. It's not dissimilar to what Stephen said when he was being stoned. And, you know, I mean, Jesus was the pattern for us to follow. He came to earth as a man and trusted and did the will of his Father. And in the end, and even during his whole life, did even as you said, Anne, he did this exact same thing.
As you said that, where it says, into that hand I commit my spirit, in Luke 23:46, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, unto thine hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said thus, he gave up the ghost. So it's the same, almost the exact same words. And you also find it in Matthew 27:50.
Thank you, Anne. Thou hast redeemed me. He was bought back, even as we are, by the very same blood that we were bought with, though it had yet to be shed. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. You know, that right there to me is twofold, because one, God is truth. So, it's worthy of trusting him. But the other thing is, because he is a God of truth, we can trust what he said to be absolutely true. And you hear this cry in David. he's giving testimony to believing God and looking for God to show up even as God said he would. Not to prove himself, but to be there in accordance with his word. Verse 6 there, Karen, if you want to.
I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room.
Okay. I have hated them that regard lying vanities. So those who give place, testimony, and come into agreement with that which is a lie and is vain and empty. He's hated that. He's refused to agree with it. He's refused to give it any place. Instead, he's chosen the Lord. He doesn't trust in any of that other stuff, not anything of the flesh, not anything like that, but the Lord. And he's hated all that would speak otherwise. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. That's his hope, is in the mercy of God, not something he does in his flesh. I will hope in that. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. God was there for him. God saw him. God knew him. God helped him. Thou hast known my soul in adversities and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. In all of David's troubles, whether they were born of his own actions or just the cruelty and hate of others, God didn't shut him up unto it. But instead, what does it say there? Thou hast set my feet in a large room. He was not only not shut up, but he was enlarged and I don't know how to put it. The presence and the blessing and the prosperity and the benefit of the Lord were his, even in the midst of all of this. He wasn't shut up in all of that garbage. I hope we've all had some experience with that, where you're troubled on every side and yet the Lord lifts you up. And in a sense, you're not touchable by it, though it's still there. If you'd like to pick up on verse 9 there, Karen.
Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed.
Okay. So, you know, the fact that he calls upon the Lord for his mercy isn't saying, God, I've done everything right. You've got to show up for me. I'm a good guy, you know, I'm on the right side. He knows that he's on the right side because he's believed God and received the redemption of his soul. and he's dependent upon that. He's not giving confession of his greatness. He's not giving confession of his ability to pass through and these kind of things. He's calling upon the Lord's help, and the Lord's help that comes through his mercy, not through David's deservedness. And you see there that he talks about the fact that my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. He's not self-righteous. He does adhere and believe and trust in the Word of God, and in that he is different than those who will not. But in that place he can also depend upon God and give confession of God to be there with him and to help him, as he says there. He's in trouble and he needs God's help. His strength is failing. He's in a bad place. His years are spent in grief. I mean, his life is spent with grief and his years with sighing. And that's sorrow. You know, he's had his fair share of difficulties and sorrows, and he goes to the one who can help him, the one who can strengthen him, the one who can forgive him, the one who has accepted him.
You know, as you said before, there is no self-righteousness in this at all. David knows he isn't worthy of the Lord's love and protection. And how many of us at times, maybe we don't say it, but sometimes we feel like, well, of course the Lord's going to love me. Of course the Lord's going to do this because look how great I am. You know, or I just did something wonderful. And you don't see this with David, and this is an example of how we need to be before the Lord, because none of us are worthy. None of us deserve his love or his grace, because we have done nothing to have him pour out his mercy on us. The only thing we are required to do is accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's when we will receive his mercy. That's when we'll receive his love and we can trust him. Don't ever think you deserve it.
Yeah.
And David's an example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it kind of mirrors, on that, one thing that it was on maybe last night's Bible study, about that spirit of meekness. If you correct somebody, because you're going to need the same grace and mercy yourself. We all are vulnerable and do fall. And to think we don't is to do exactly what you're saying, and that is to think that you deserve it because you don't. Truth is, we're all dependent upon each other's love, each other's mercy, but to help us, but to know God's love and God's mercy, which is freely given to all who will receive it through the sacrifice of his son. And as you said, that is the sum of what makes us acceptable to God, is the blood of the Lamb. Jesus took our sin so that we don't have to pay the price. And we can stand and, what does it say there? Be glad and rejoice in that. What a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And extend the same to another. Verse 11.
I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Keep going.
Yes.
For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they took counsel together against me. Well, let me start that over again. Have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life.
Okay.
But I
that, you can
Lord.
Stop that. Stop okay. there, I mean. Stop that. No, stop there, please.
Stop that!
You know, David's, you can tell the guy's alone here. He was a reproach among all of his enemies. Now, these are people that you have to figure were waiting and looking and wanting to see this guy stumble in his faith, fall from the hope he had in Christ. And especially his neighbors, and you know, whatever is he's going through and crying out about right now, it is something that doesn't appear to be hidden. And he goes, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mine. I am like a broken vessel, like nobody. I'm alone. I'm empty. Everybody has fled from me. Nobody will stand with me. Nobody will be with me. I've heard the slander of many. You know, those who will speak evil and condemnation. They took counsel against him. They devised to take away his life. Now, he certainly was under having people want to kill him many times. But another thing that people will do is seek to take away the life that we have in Christ Jesus. And undermine that and seek to destroy it. Either way, he was beset on every side.
I don't think anyone here listening tonight has ever been in this position where everyone has turned against them and people are actually trying to figure out ways to kill you. You know, and he could still, in that, trust the Lord. You look at what we go through, it's nowhere near this. And we have trouble sometimes trusting the Lord in the little things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time I know of with David, you'll know this, was when he had, and he had this band of vagabond men and their families. They were all together. At this point, he had, I think, two wives, one of which was Abigail. In fact, I say that fairly certainly. And they went up to do battle with a Philistine lord and were sent back because the other lords weren't about ready to have David join them against Israel. But when they got back, the city that they lived in was burnt to the ground and all their women and children had been taken hostage. And David's own men, because of their own grief, sought to kill David. And when you read the story in Samuel, it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, which is a picture of what we see here. And then he inquired of the Lord whether he should go get him. And the Lord said, yeah, go get him. And he and his men followed him, but he got them all back to the last one. There was none lost in that. But David had grief then too. And he was bearing the grief and the anger and the everything that was going on with his men at that time, and he was the only man standing there looking to the Lord for an answer and for help. And he got it. And so did his men through David. Verse 14, but Anne, I agree with you. I mean, David's life. You think of David's life, I think of Jeremiah when I read this, who was persecuted his whole life and rejected by everybody, all the time. None of us have suffered that.
Megan put in the chat, it's 1 Samuel 30, verse 6.
Thank you, Megan and Karen.
And it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Amen. You want to pick up there on verse 14? This is David's response to all that's going on to him.
But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave.
You can stop there.
Okay.
So you see his response, but I trusted in thee, O God. It's a choice David made. I trusted in thee. I said, thou art my God. And in a way you can see here David telling, you know, commanding himself, setting himself to that which he knew was the truth and not letting go. Making confession of that which he believes in and knows to be true in a very difficult time. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. You know, David needs God's help, and David wants God's help. And there's an element here where David is not vengeful. He's asking the Lord to bring him out of this, the Lord to strengthen him, the Lord to be his strong tower, the Lord to redeem him, the Lord to be there for him, to deliver him. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Now that servant there is a bondman, a bond slave, where David was God's servant, had chosen to put off his own will and to do the Lord's will. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. That's like favor. That's presence. That's God's favor and presence, his blessing, his being there with him. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Now this again glorifies the Lord, you know. It's a prayer that you read many times amongst men of God, where they call upon God to do things because of his mercy's sake, because God is mercy. God is love. And these are acts that when God does, he shows it. And all who will see, it's there for them to partake of too. You have a man or a woman who will stand up and rely upon it, give voice to it, not justify themselves, and look and hope and pray for God's mercies that he might be glorified. God shows up for that. Not for David's sake, for his sake, for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. You know, those who speak blasphemy, really, those who come against the truth. Let them be the ones that are ashamed. Let the lying lips be put to silence. Yes?
I just was hitting me through this whole thing that we see so much humbleness from David. Mm-hmm. He has a humble spirit through this whole thing. And that's what we each should attain, or try to attain, to be humble before the Lord. He's not demanding God do anything. He's not ordering God around. He's asking, and he's humble in that asking.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
I didn't read 18 yet. Do you want me to read that one?
Oh, yes, because I started on that, didn't I?
Yep. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous.
Okay, stop right there. That's really what you were saying, Ann, in a way, because let the lying lips be put to silence. Those who think they're better, those who rejoice in another man's struggles, those who want to see God's people destroyed rather than partake of the very same mercy that they partook of. Let their lying lips, it says the lying lips, but be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. And the righteous there are the righteous by faith, the ones in right standing with God. And people hate that. They'll come against you if you stand in that. That's what David stood in. Verse 19.
Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men.
Okay, stop right there. There's a scripture that says it also quite beautifully. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I think. Let me see if I can find it real quick. And this is not a word-for-word quote, but a quote from Isaiah. Let me see. I think it's 1 Corinthians. Maybe it was chapter 2, verse 9. Yes, listen to this. So what you just read was, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't even imagine the glory that the Lord has awaiting for his servants who love him. How great is thy goodness? His goodness. Like you were saying, Aunt, it's God's goodness that David rejoices in and depends upon. Because he fears God in a right fear. Not where he can't come to him, not where he can't call upon him, but he knows that God is God. And he has reverence for that. God's already wrought for them that trust in him great things, laid it up.
You know, it's something else about...
Go ahead.
About this is that this is a story of faith. You see what he actually sees, and here you see what is hoping for.
Amen.
Which isn't what he sees. But he knows it's true.
Yes.
And it's worth holding out for.
Yes. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Verse 20 there, Karen.
Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues.
So here, you know, we see that the Lord keeps the, keeps those that fear him. And it might not be seen by other people. It's hidden, but it also is visible, but it's obviously missed by those who refuse to acknowledge the truth. But the Lord hides them from the presence of the pride of man. They can't be moved. He keeps them. He keeps them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. How else could we pass through this life in faith if the Lord didn't do such a thing? Didn't preserve us by that hope that Megan spoke of and by his presence. Actually, we should be those who, though we dwell in the flesh and the natural, live in the Spirit in Christ Jesus anyways. And that's something that man doesn't see. People walking up and down the road and see you, they don't see that. If you want to read down through the end, Karen.
Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shewed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord.
This is the thanksgiving now. You see David. David received his answer. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. He has showed me his kindness. David called upon it. And the Lord was there. And then he goes on to say, you know, he said, he spoke too soon. He kind of gave up a hope there. I'm cut off from before thine eyes, meaning you don't see me. I'm here all by myself. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. It's not like he cried unto him with some great feeling. He cried unto him by faith, knowing the word, knowing the truth, and the Lord heard him. He started out in somewhat desperate place, and he ends up in a good place. And then he gives an exhortation to us, so love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. And here we just see how he did it with David. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I like that, because sometimes I pray that the Lord will strengthen me. And it says here, be of good courage, and the Lord will strengthen your heart. Be of good courage in him, and the Lord will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. What a beautiful word. Be of good courage in him, and he will strengthen your heart. He'll strengthen your heart so you can continue to serve him. He'll strengthen your heart so you continue to stand. He'll strengthen your heart so that you'll grow really more set upon that rock of our salvation. The scripture that talks about when the storms come, they come on the one on the rock, they come on the one on the sand, but the one on the rock stands. His house doesn't fall. Praise God. Do you guys have anything you'd like to share before we say goodnight?
I don't have anything else. Karen shaking her head no.
We could hear that, Karen. Well, thank you, ladies, for being here tonight, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. And I hope that you were blessed, and may the Lord bless you. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for being here.
Good night, all.
Good night.